The following program is brought to you in living color.
Evening, ma'am. Can I buy you a drink?
I don't think so.
You don't know what you're missing.
You sure you want to go without me? It's like your top of the line A-game material.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow.
Whatever this is not going to work.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your radio resource. Well, we are off and rolling to another great version of The Crush today, and I have to admit, I am functioning a little out of sorts today. I was very, very brave, and I decided to take a group to California for the past week. And I took a big group of people who had never, ever been. And I have to admit, after so many years in the business, I'm a bit jaded. 40, 50, 50, 60 times I have been to California. And I forget every time how exciting it is for people to see vineyards and names and everything at the first moment. And it's always great to watch that awe-inspiring, happy smiles. But then the questions start, and it continues over and over and over again. So I am right there with you today, listeners. I understand what it's like to be frustrated, to not have the answer for questions, to not know where you are and not know what's going on. And after this past week, I have a whole new grasp of questions that you really should have had answers to before you go to California.
You killed some of these people, didn't you?
I did not.
Oh.
Everybody made it back in one piece.
Okay.
The pieces weren't necessarily together, but they made it back in one piece.
Ah.
Some were taped back together, some were taped shut. It just depended on who was there and what the time was.
Okay, gotcha.
So in light of this, today's show, yes, is about traveling to California, but a more specific point of it. We have talked in the past about etiquette of tastings. We've talked about tasting rooms. But today is really all about what to do once you get there. Sure, we've talked about the crackers, but we have two guests today that are going to totally enlighten you. For those of you who are feeling brave or just want to get the overall tasting room experience without necessarily attending the tasting room, we have Mr. Jeff Butler. He is the tasting room manager for Pine Ridge Vineyards. And we also have Ms. Lily Peterson. She is the tasting room manager for Saintsbury. So these two people are going to help educate and edify the rest of us on what they expect from groups coming into the tasting rooms, what kind of questions they get. So it'll be actually enlightening for everyone to see what you know, what you don't know. And I'm hoping I can twist some of their arms and tell us some of the worst stories they've ever seen of groups from tasting rooms. Present company not excluded, of course. I will say there's only three wineries I am banned for. And for the record, they were not my fault. I did not do it.
Okay.
See, Kent, I already see the disbelief.
Listen, I've heard the stories, but that's all.
Well, by the time you get to day five and you're on your 14th winery tour, there is only so much entertaining you can make about a barrel or a stainless steel fermenter or hoses or stuff like that.
Said before, I don't know how you do it.
Kent, I don't know anymore myself.
Yeah.
So we're all on the same page. However, I made it successfully through my trip by drinking. Remember, drink more, it'll all go away, for those of you that pay attention to my blog. And part of the reason I made it through the week were two great wines, which are going to serve for this week's wine recommendation. The first one is our white, and I don't do Sauvignon Blancs enough. I think because all of us are dealing with such extreme heat around the country that something really, really cool and crisp is really right up our alley right now. Trinchero makes a Sauvignon Blanc called Mary's Vineyard. And it's from Napa Valley. And I know a lot of people say, oh, wow, you know, we have New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, Carnera, Southern California, Sonoma. Yes, those are all great regions, but I think we tend to forget the Sauvignon Blancs out of Napa. Yes, they do Chardonnay. Yes, they do Cabernet, but they also do Sauvignon Blanc very well. This 2008 is 100% from Napa Valley. It's also 100% Sauvignon Blanc, and it's a little bit north of Calistoga, so it's the northern end of Highway 29 for those of you feeling brave. But it's very crisp. It's refreshing. It's got a little peach on it. It has surly aging, so it has a little weight to it, but you do get the great tropical flavors, and it's very, very nice and cool and very palate cleansing. Also, the more you drink, the less time you have to answer questions and not snap at someone and say, didn't you just hear someone just ask that question? Don't you know the answer to that?
You're still a bit on edge.
I have to admit I am.
I didn't
get back in town late, like 12:45 Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw half of them the next day, and they were still asking questions. And it's just horrible flashbacks, since it's continued for 48 hours. I actually had a dream about duct tape last night, and I was actually using it to tape people's mouths shut.
Okay, got it.
All right. But the problem is, if you have duct tape someone's mouth shut, they can't enjoy wine, and they certainly can't enjoy a great red wine. Now, we talk about Cabs. We talk about Merlots. I do tend to talk about mainstream varietals pretty much all the time because we are a mainstream drinking public. But what I haven't spoken about, at least in the California context, is the Barbera grape. Now, the Barbera grape, it's a number 3 planted grape in all of Italy. It is from Italy, and it's very refreshing. It can have cherries. It can have raspberries. It can have blackberries. And, of course, it's really easy to grow. It can be very vigorous, so sometimes it tends to have a overly green flavor. That's not necessarily a good thing. But the California people, they got a hold of the Barbera. And even though you have that great earthy flavor in Italy, the one from Amador County, the 2007 Montevigna Barbera, is exactly what you would want out of a great red wine. You can chill down maybe to about 60 degrees and find it really refreshing. It smells of black cherry. It smells spicy. Don't laugh. You get cherry cola in this wine. I'm not saying it's effervescent, but you do get that really refreshing flavor you would off a cherry Coke. So 2007 Montevigna Barbera. It will go with lamb. It will go with anything you're pretty much pulling off the grill. This will be great for the notorious PIG as well as certain cuts of steak. So good wine, something a little off the beaten path. And you can find both these wines for about $24 retail. So it hits the right price point for all of our pocketbooks right now. So your red and your white, something you can enjoy for the summertime. And that's what wine is all about. And every chance I get to remind everybody, wine is about enjoyment. It's about enriching your life, fulfilling what you're doing, and helping yourself to enjoy others more. The wine and food component is a major component if you're going to sit down around a table and have discussions about pairings. But ultimately, the whole reason we drink is to make ourselves happier. Is that not true, Kent?
Yeah.
Kent's just totally
left field. I had to go over here. I was looking at my phone number.
That is the point. And I encourage you, let us know your stories. Today we are going to focus on California. We are going to focus on visiting wineries and what to do and what not to do and the great stories. But I want to hear what you have encountered. Call me, 877-4CRUSH1, or you can email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Or you can always check us out at winecrush.com and send us an email from there. We are always open to questions and comments. Well, some comments we probably aren't open to near as much as others, but that's neither here nor there.
That's right. Not after the big 2010 wine tour. Don't ask too many questions.
Exactly. And, you know, I feel bad about that because as you kind people are listening to me talk, the whole reason of me serving the wine industry like this is to answer questions that people have been afraid to ask. And I was reminded of this fact over and over again on our recent trip. And they said, Laura, you're supposed to be teaching. You're supposed to be educating. But honestly, it doesn't matter what kind of wine expert you're in the car with. Even if you were with Master Wine, Master Sommelier, and a true author. You can drive down Highway 29 at 55 miles an hour, and there is nobody on the face of the earth that can point out each individual row, tell you exactly what kind of grape it is, who owns the vineyard, how long they've owned it, what kind of soil type it is, and exactly when they're going to pick the grapes. And how come there's no little grapes and what color are the blooms? Nobody can tell you that. It is not possible. So I have decided once again, I'm going to take a deep breath. We're going to back up, and we are going to truly look at wine from a novice perspective. Which is why the rest of you, those of you who are true aficionados and might be able to answer these questions, please call in. Please. I would love to talk to someone like that. All right, we're going to take a small break right here. But when we return, we are going to have Mr. Jeff Butler, the tasting room manager for Pine Ridge. And he can enlighten us on exactly what to expect from the great tasting rooms in Napa Valley.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem.
Well, yes, you can.
If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And right now I had the pleasure of introducing Mr. Jeff Butler. He is the tasting room manager at Pine Ridge Vineyards. But for all our listeners, I'm going to warn you, when we actually met Jeff, he had no idea of what I did for a living. So this is bound to be an entertaining conversation. Jeff, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Glad to be here. I didn't know you were so well connected.
It's terrifying, isn't it? I try and fly incognito because at that point I didn't know if I was going to strangle one of the members of my group or not. So I figured it was better off for you not to know I was a celebrity about to commit murder.
Good idea. Good idea.
Fair enough. Well, Jeff, I'm delighted you're on the show today. It's interesting. I had the opportunity to see a lot of wineries with this group of neophytes when I was out there. And above all, you were charismatic, you were fun, and you kept it exactly what I love to see in a tasting room. It was informative, but it was not overwhelming. Tell our listeners what your secret is to a perfect tasting room event.
Perfect tasting room event. Come in, enjoy yourself, and appreciate what is around us. And maybe take home a bottle or two.
It is nice. I try and transmit to the listeners, if you're going to go in and buy a tasting, if you really like something, get it there.
Really. There's no guarantee that you're going to find it at home. Sometimes you have a very small production wine. Always ask the person behind the bar. They're the ones that are going to know whether it's available once you get back home. And in some cases, we may not even be able to ship to the state that they're living in.
Yes, we're all learning that a little bit more and more. We had a lady from tastingroom.com on about 3 weeks ago, and poor woman, I think half my listeners have written in that they can't get anything because she can't ship to them.
Exactly, exactly. It makes it tough. But above all, like I said, make it fun. People coming in, a lot of times they've never been to a winery before. We're starting off with the basic knowledge, and you know, it's not brain surgery. It should be a fun day.
And you definitely helped to make that. Like I did mention, you are very charismatic, but the Pine Ridge Tasting Room, it's right off the Silverado Trail. It's a beautiful facility. But it was interesting. One member of my group said, well, I want to buy a shirt, wear all the wearables. And it seems to me that as we watched tasting rooms and I watched people, there were people in two camps. There were those that were genuinely interested in the wines and learning about the wines. And then there was the other group that wanted just to have the little token, hey, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Do you see that a lot in the tasting rooms, or am I just missing something?
Well, no. I mean, it really is broken into two camps. Pine Ridge used to have some wearable merchandise, very small selection. And we got away from it a couple years back, saying, okay, we make wine, we sell wine. Let's focus on the wine. I've had people come into the tasting room, looking around, scouting around. I thought they were looking for the restroom or something. I kind of steered them in the right direction. Then they said, well, where's the gift shop? Well, it's right here. And they looked around all kind of confused and go, what do you sell? I said, we sell wine. We're a winery.
What do you expect?
Yeah, really.
This is not Disneyland. You do not pass through the gift shop on your way out. But no, I think some people do have that atmosphere. Well, tell our listeners, Jeff, just real briefly, they pull into the parking lot at Pine Ridge. What do you expect of the perfect tasting room guest?
What do we expect of the perfect tasting room guest? Well, my recommendation for our guests is to come earlier in the day. We tend to be a late destination for a lot of folks just based on where we're located geographically on Silverado Trail. Earlier in the morning, it's going to be less crowded. We're going to get more personal attention as you walk in the tasting room. When they walk in the door, we're greeting them. We're saying, hi, how are you? Welcome to Pine Ridge. You know, have you been here before? If you have, welcome back. If not, well, we're going to explain what we can do for you. We're looking for folks who might have some experience, might not have experience with wine tasting. We just want to, again, educate them on what we're doing and educate them on the Napa Valley and send them away with a great feeling.
It's always easy to come in and drink wine and, you know, to really appreciate the people behind the counter when they're as easygoing as you. But I've got to ask, will you share some trauma stories with us? What are some of the worst tasters you've ever seen?
Worst tasters? Well, I mean, we allow our guests to share a tasting if they want to have two people or, you know, four people. And I've had up to 10 people share one tasting.
Oh, no, you haven't.
Oh, we have, yeah. And, you know, you got to keep in mind, we're not pouring large amounts.
You're pouring, what, an ounce, maybe?
Yeah, ounce and a half. Yeah, not much, not much. And we also have a bowl of crackers on the table, so they're all munching down crackers, you know, as they're sipping in between. So by the time you get up to the fourth tasting with 10 people sharing it, you know, we've got this lip of cracker crumbs around the glass. Well, I know, it's, but they're our guests. We're going to take care of them.
Well, at least you're more gracious
stories,
than I.
Yeah. I've worked at other wineries that had, you know, we poured Zinfandel, and I was pouring for a guest, and she looked at it in total shock and amazement, turned to her husband, and says, look, hon, it comes in red, too.
Now, how do you personally handle someone like that? Having seen your sense of humor and the patience you exhibited with the group of people I had brought upon you, how would you handle that situation?
You laugh about it. Yeah, you know, that's the whole thing. That's why I'm doing this. The customers are friendly. In my previous career, I didn't have friendly customers. I came from a background in cable television.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. That's why I do this. This is fun now.
So you have people that were willing to actually choke you in your previous profession.
Well, when I interviewed for a job at a previous winery, their question was, are you comfortable talking to crowds? And my question was, are they hostile?
I'm going to going to steal that line from you at some point.
Yeah, and they said, no, of course. Then why would you even ask? So I explained to them what my previous career was, and they go, no, we have friendly crowds here.
At least after they have some wine. Now, is there a certain – I looked, and we had the luxury of attending Pine Ridge, not quite at the end of the day, but very, very close. Do you ever have a problem with tasters that have come in and probably had been tasting a little bit too much during the day?
Of course. We'll see that more on weekends. You know, people out here enjoying themselves, and sometimes they figure if they've got a limousine driver or, you know, someone driving around the valley that they can just soak up as much as they can. But we have personal responsibility in the state of California. We can be held personally liable for any injuries that they incur if they're intoxicated. We serve them. If they come in and it looks like a borderline call, the staff member will usually call me over and we'll, you know, chat. We can usually spot the ringleader in the group if they're coming in with a group of folks. And, you know, you can pull that person aside and say, listen, you know, I think your friend may be getting close to the edge here. We're not going to serve them, but, we give them a bottle of water if they want to sit outside in the gardens, which are beautiful, and just let them chill out for a bit. That might be the best for all involved.
So ultimately, your sole goal is to make sure everybody is safe and happy and well-informed by the time they get done at your winery.
Exactly. If they walk away absorbing maybe a little bit of what we told them, then we've done our job.
Now, do you ever see the opposite problem as well? People come in and argue with you saying, oh, well, I know you carry SLV Cabernet. Where is it? Do you have people like that, and how do you deal with them?
Of course. We do a Stag Loop District Cabernet, and people walk in. They think that we're associated with one of the two wineries that have Stag Loop in their name. So we have to explain to them that, you know, we're all part of the same growing district in the Napa Valley. We're just trying to get our product out. There are two wineries, one up the road this way, one up the road down that way, and be more than happy to go to those. But, you know, it's an education process. If someone comes in with the I know everything about wine attitude, those are the ones that you have to kind of handle the kid gloves. You don't want to offend them. You don't want to point out inconsistencies in their story to their guests that they may be showing off in front of. But you also want to make sure you get the right message across.
Well, at least you're being gracious. I mean, God knows, after the group I brought in, I know you can be gracious. Well,
oh,
Jeff,
they were wonderful.
Oh, you're very, very kind. Their questions wore me out. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for being part of the Crush today. I'm sorry to have sprung this on you, but once again, for all of our listeners, if you want a great tasting experience, I encourage you, go to Pine Ridge, ask for Jeff, and tell him Laura Lawson sent you just so he can't get past that and will continue to remember me for a while.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
All right, Jeff, you take care. Well, we're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, your calls, your emails, because after all, the Crush is all about you.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we are discussing the ins and outs of going to California and the priorities of tasting rooms and just the different experiences you can have as a group or in these rooms or with your friends around you. And any way you look at it, it's always a great vacation. It's a great experience. And if you're a wine lover or if you're learning about wine, I can't encourage you to do this any more than I already do. It is a great experience. It's very worthwhile. But I hope you're enjoying some of the pointers we're going to give you today. Because I have to admit, just coming back, there were some interesting total extremes I did see. This is something we have not touched on the show before, but I do want to point it out. When you walk into tasting rooms, generally you pay for a tasting. And you can pay for a combination of 4 different wines, 5 different wines, 6 different wines. Keep in mind, you do not have to drink everything in the glass, and you do not have to drink all the wines. If you start out at 10 in the morning and drink all the wines in your glass for the whole trip, by the time you get to your last stop, you are not going to enjoy it because all you're going to want is a bottle of water. Now, keep in mind, you walk into a winery, you pay for a tasting, you do want to get your money's worth, but if you have hit the end of the day and you're just thirsty, drinking the rest of that wine is not going to help you or the people around you's overall experience. So keep that in mind. All right. Well, as you know, we do encourage you to call in and to send emails. For those of you who have not done so, call us 877-4CRUSH-1. You can drop a call on the wine line. You can actually occasionally talk to Kent directly, which is what all of us love to do. On the same token, you can send me an email, lauralawson@winecrush.com, or do check us out on the website, on our website at winecrush.com. You can find out about upcoming guests. You can find our links. You can vote in our polls, all kind of fun stuff. Well, some of you have been brave and sent out emails, and right now I have this from Brian. Brian writes from Clarendon, and I have no idea where Clarendon is, Brian. Very, very sorry. I do apologize. But Brian writes, how do they get oak flavors into wine? It can't always be from barrels. You know, it's funny, Brian, it depends on what winery you're talking to or what critic you're talking to. You would think that everybody who has a Chardonnay, Cabernet, or Merlot that tastes like oak has spent millions of dollars on barrels. There are actually other ways to impart the oak flavor into wine, although they aren't really heavily publicized. Ultimately, yes, barrels are the way that most people get the flavors of oak into wine. But there are also different techniques. One is called staving, and this tends to happen in some of the larger case production wineries. And I honestly don't see a fault with it. There are some critics out there, and there's some winemakers that say that this just bastardizes the whole concept of wine. But what they do is they take staves, just like you see staves in a barrel, and a hole is put into the end of them, and they are tied down with stainless steel wires. And then the wine is on top of them. So they kind of float in the barrels. Think about kelp. Think about seaweed floating back and forth. And so as the staves are down there, of course, the wine is all getting in contact with the stave. It's the same oak they use to make barrels. The wine's flowing around it. It's getting contact. I think it's a very efficient way to get oak flavors into wine. Honestly, I don't see a drawback with it. I'm sure I'd love for someone to call me and tell me what's wrong with it, but it's the same stuff as barrels. They're just freestanding. Now, after staves, there are some different other options you can do. You can do chips or beans with oak. And the chips are just what they sound like. It's chips of oak. And they are put in, for lack of a better term, a very large tea bag. And the tea bags, just like we were talking about the staves, they are attached to the bottom of the tanks, and the wine flows in and out of them. Now, I can see where slowly but surely maybe we're getting away from the purity of an oak barrel, the purity from the idea of doing something that's a solid piece of oak. But once again, it's effective. It imparts the flavors. And this isn't your $25, $40, $50 bottle of wine. This is the stuff that we find on our shelves that all of us find readily drinkable. Now, past that, we get into some really interesting properties. There is oak dust that can be dumped into tanks, and there is also oak-flavored liquid, kind of like kitchen bouquet. I don't really understand the oak-flavored liquid. I'd love to get my hands on some because I want to see what it's like. But those can be put into massive tanks, and they do impart the flavor. For those of you that are worried, yes, when they filter the wine, the oak dust does come out. But I will say it does look a lot like sawdust. So, of course, it made me wonder about the filters. But once again, it all has the same end result to impart that oak flavor. Now, fortunately, I'm going to get off on a little bit of a tangent here. Brian, we all love oak at some point. At some point, just to sit down with that Cabernet with a nice American taste, whether it's the French oak we get out of Bordeaux, whether it's the American Chardonnay that's seen a little bit of French oak to give it that nice, even-keel flavor, we all enjoy it. But California, at least, and, of course, most of the New World, they're at least stepping away from the oak flavoring. And I like the idea because it helps the wine speak for itself. It helps the wine speak truer. So does oak serve a purpose besides giving the wine a flavor? Yes, it helps with tannins. It helps with extraction. It helps with aging. But ultimately, I think when it comes down to the flavor of oak, there's a lot of different ways to get it in there. And it's entirely up to you to decide which manner you like best. Personally, once again, I do have concern about the oak oil. I would love to see how that works, but once again, I don't know. I've never actually been a winemaker.
I've never heard of oak beans.
Yes, oak beans. They're basically pieces of oak that are chopped up about the size of a kidney bean.
Yeah.
They're in little squares. They're kind of rounded, kind of polished, and those are dumped in the tea bags as well. See, you've learned something
today.
Can
you buy those at Walmart?
I honestly don't know. But I know that you can buy them in the co-op out in California. And as we got to see a cooperage and go to the whole barrel-making facility out there, I do have a great idea of different types of oaks and how it's used to impart it in wine now. Mm-hmm. There's oak staves. There's old boxes. You name it, they have found a way to drop it into wine to make wine taste oaky.
Good.
Creativity at its best. Well, Brian, I hope that answers your question. I hope it doesn't turn you off to oak. And for the rest of you who want to argue with me, 877-4-CRUSH-1 and talk to Kent. He's a great screener. We'll have fun. All right, we have an email now from Leslie, and Leslie writes from New Orleans, Louisiana. Why are you always talking about Napa and Sonoma as the places to visit in California? Aren't there other regions that are worthwhile? Well, Leslie, yes, they are. But it's perfect that you are calling from New Orleans, Louisiana. When you have people come visit your town and they want to go out and drink and get the whole experience of what the world perceives as New Orleans, do you send them necessarily down to Slidell or over to Slidell to see one little bar? No, you send them straight to the French Quarter, where there's a bar on every corner. Everything on French Quarter is a bar. Same concept with Napa and Sonoma. When you have people who don't know about wine, who are just going to visit and have got to get the overall impression, Napa and Sonoma are great places to do that. You can just, it's like the little bouncy dog head that you see in the commercials. If you're going down Highway 29 in Napa, anyone in your car is just turning their head right, left, right, left, right, left. I'm sure everybody in my group had a crick in the neck by the time they were done. In Sonoma, you get a grasp of the farming. You don't have to necessarily go 40 miles every time you want to see a winery. You do get a little more bits and pieces, and you get more of the whole agrarian culture. Now, as far as the rest of California, I absolutely love Santa Barbara. I love Amador. I love Lake County, Mendocino, Monterey. I love all these areas. I like the Central Valley. I like Chiles Valley. I think everything out there is outstanding. But the difference is, if you are looking to do a weekend, if you are looking to do 4 days, if you don't have 2 full weeks to truly go out to wine country and appreciate it for what it is, you want to try and get the most bang for your buck. And that's by seeing several wineries that doesn't involve you drinking and driving a lot. So do I recommend the other counties and the other areas out there, Leslie? Absolutely. They are all absolutely beautiful. I think Amador is one of the prettiest parts of California wine country. Is it great for the first-time visitor who has to drive 30 miles between wineries? Not necessarily. All right, we're going to take a small break here on The Crush, but when we return, we're going to have Miss Lily Peterson from Saintsbury join us and give you a little more insight into the world of tasting rooms.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max, added to your oil and your gas tank, can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and today we are discussing a trip to California, how to look at it, how to plan it, how to take best advantage of it. And right now we have Miss Lily Peterson, and she is from Saintsbury, to talk to us a little bit about tasting rooms and what they expect down in Carneros. Lily, welcome to The Crush.
Hi, how are you, Laura?
I am outstanding. Thank you very much for being part of The Crush today.
Oh, absolutely.
I have been to Saintsbury on occasion. I don't believe you and I have had the pleasure, but from what I hear, you are definitely the woman that has the answer to all my questions.
Oh, we'll see.
All right, question for you. When you are opening the door, you're expecting people to walk in and taste wine. What do you expect of the consumer walking into the Saintsbury tasting room?
Well, for us here at Saintsbury, we're actually appointment only.
Okay.
And I try to host as many people as possible, but it's really important for me to get as much of a one-on-one experience as I can with each customer.
Now, I think a lot of our, I'm going to interrupt you real quick, because a lot of our listeners, whether it's the Napa Valley Travel Guide or when they call ahead or see on the website, and it says by appointment only. I know that half of my friends, at least, will call me and say, Laura, can you get me into Saintsbury? It's by appointment only. And I always give them a hard time. I say, why, is your finger broken? Can you not call the winery on your own? Do you encourage regular people to call you to get an appointment?
We do. I work really hard to fit as many people as I can in here at Saintsbury, and I've started hosting tastings on Saturdays as well, just to sort of so that everyone can really get a chance to taste the wines and experience our beautiful gardens and the winery here. I always encourage people to try to call a week or two out. If you can give a little bit more time, that's great, and that way we can sort of curtail the tasting and make it work with the rest of the visitors' experience here in the valley.
See, it's nice to think that when you look at the by appointment only, it stops people from doing that mad dash. They feel like they have to see everybody and everything if they're going to be out there. Give us an example for our listeners. They pick up the phone, they call Saintsbury, and they say, Lily, I'd love to come see your property. How long are they going to spend at Saintsbury?
So I usually ask them to sort of portion out about an hour and a half for a tasting. We make a nice array of Pinot Noirs, and I like to be able to walk around. We have vineyards all around the winery here, as well as our Pinot Noir facility. So essentially, we'll taste a little wine, maybe start with a little rosé, taste our Chardonnays, and then take a walk out in the vineyards, walk through the cellar, show them all the barrels and all the equipment. I think it's nice. It really helps bring everything home and so that they can understand, where the wine comes from.
Well, this is
that usually takes about an hour and a half.
Well, that is definitely what people need to experience. If you go to Wine Country and your idea is to run from room to room to buy the T-shirt, been there, got it, then you're not getting the whole point of going to Wine Country. You're not getting the whole point of getting the feel for it. Because for all the questions that listeners ask and for all the questions people have about wine, if you take that one moment to make the phone call and to go to someplace like Saintsbury and to see barrels and to see the tasting room and to see the gardens and how it ties together, you're going to understand wine a whole lot better. Lily, when you're looking at people coming in, how do you judge their knowledge? How are you able to talk to them in languages that they understand?
Well, I feel like, first you start off with, pouring the wines and seeing what it is that they like about the wines. And people will usually start to describe their knowledge, their experience, where they are. And traditionally I'll get, I'm not, an experienced taster. And I always find that traditionally they are. I was really fortunate to get into this business almost by accident. But those around me at the time were really generous with their knowledge. They were never condescending. They were always willing to taste. And I think as long as you make people feel comfortable, help them understand that it's really just about finding wines that they really love, they can relax, and they can really start to learn and experience, everything that we have to offer here. And not only just in Napa, but in the wine industry, in wine country.
Well, a question for you, and this ought to clarify for a lot of people. Lily, how do you expect people to treat you when they come into Saintsbury? When they come into your property, what do you expect from them?
Oh, That's sweet of you to ask. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that.
Here at the Wine Crush, we're here to ask the difficult, unanswered questions. That's what I live for, because I lived for it last week.
Surely. You know, all I really expect is for people to, you know, to be respectful and to come in, and obviously you want people to be somewhat sober when they're here.
That's not much to ask for.
I know.
A little sobriety, just a little bit.
Just a touch. And to be open-minded and to maybe just taste through the wines, even though maybe they had not been, you know, in the past had favorable reviews with the Chardonnay or with Rosé. You know, we make 7 Pinot Noirs here, but we also do Chardonnay, and we make a smaller amount of Syrah. And I always hope that people are open-minded and at least give the wines a chance. And that's really all that I can ask for.
How often do you really get that, though? Because ultimately, I would say 90% of the population knows that Sainsbury is all about Pinot. And hand them a glass of Chardonnay. I can see some of the people I saw this past week look at you and say, what is this and why are you giving me this?
Well, I think what happens is a lot of people, you know, well, oftentimes people can have misconceptions about what a wine is. Maybe they've had, you know, a certain type of Chardonnay from California, and they think that all Chardonnays will taste like that, or a type of Syrah or Shiraz from Australia or from South Africa that maybe tastes a very particular way to them. And it's nice to know that, you know, we're producing a very special style of wine here, and unique style, and you know, I think it's really just important for people to sit down and taste the wines and maybe just appreciate them, you know, while they're there at the winery, and if they like it, they like it. But I oftentimes
that's a perfect attitude all the way around, because ultimately if they're bothering to call you for an appointment, and listeners, pay attention to Lily, this is something you should do. Go in, taste the wines, and most of all, appreciate the person who's doing the tasting for you. Lily, thank you very much for being part of the Crush today. I encourage everyone, number one, Sainsbury, one of my favorite Pinots on the planet, but two, if you get time, see Sainsbury. It is definitely beautiful and worth the drive.
Oh, thank you so much.
Lily, take care.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
We'll take a small break right here. When we return, we will wrap it up and give you the high points on how to visit a tasting room and what the best things for you to do when you're heading out west.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life.
and values.com.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and today we have hit the high notes about tasting rooms and traveling to California. Special thanks go out to Jeff Butler, the tasting room manager at Pine Ridge, and to Miss Lily Peterson from Saintsbury. They gave us some great guidance, some great stories, and some good advice. But I know I have given my fellow trip mates a hard time on the show today, but ultimately it is just about asking questions, and the only way you're going to learn when you're out there is you're going to ask questions, and hopefully you're going to find something patient and kind enough who's going to answer them. To actually get back to my story, you know, I've given the girls a hard time about asking questions about this grape and this dirt and this slope and all these things that they can't necessarily see. But I think the best note I can end this on is at one point we were taking a tour of a winery, and we were up in Amador County. And finally, the tour, after about 2 hours and 15 minutes, one of these great people in my group walked up to me and handed me a cork. And I was waiting for questions or something to go with it, and I finally looked at her, and I said, what would you like me to do with it? She's like, put it in your mouth. Absolutely stop asking questions. So sure enough, by the time I got to the end of the tour, I had people ready to revolt and kill me because I had been asking too many technical questions and I had asked so much stuff that went over their heads that they weren't enjoying it. So don't worry if you're out there and you're asking questions. It means you're interested. It means you're involved. But ultimately, it means you're interested in learning. And whether you're asking where the restroom is, whether you're asking what kind of dirt it is or what kind of vine it is, or if you're asking specifically why you're picking Italian machinery over German machinery and the per square inch, it doesn't matter, because what you're doing is you're investing in your wine education. And if you're investing in your wine education, it gives you a platform to build on and something to enjoy for the rest of your life. Because remember, you can go out to tasting rooms and you can buy all the t-shirts you want to, but by the time you spill red wine on them or spill oil on them, the t-shirts are long gone. When it's all said and done, all the questions you asked, all the information you gathered is always going to be in your head. And after all, it's always better to put money in your head than onto your body. We'll think about that for a little bit. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this version of The Crush as much as I have. It's always fun to get in touch with you, and I encourage you to do that, 877-4CRUSH1, or email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Here's The Crush reminding you to sip sociably, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.